In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we have been fasting and we have been feasting. As we know, it's been the Dormition Fast since August 1st, preparing us to celebrate the summer Pascha, the Dormition of the Mother of God, on August 15th. And we've been feasting because on August 6th, we began the celebration of the Lord's Transfiguration. And that celebration continues for about 8 days, coming to the leave-taking on August 13th. So we have this sandwich, so to speak, of the Transfiguration right in the center of the Dormition Fast. And we're fasting and feasting. As we make our descent down the mountain, that mount where we saw and beheld the glory of Christ, we do well to be changed by it, to talk a little bit about the significance of the Lord's Transfiguration for us as Christians, as a church. On that day of Transfiguration, we said that the icon shows us the events of the feast. Christ is in the center, surrounded by Moses and Elias, the lawgiver, and one of the prophets. We see the evangelists of the New Testament Gospel, Peter, James, and John, there on the mountain. The voice of the Father is heard. The Holy Spirit appears in that bright cloud. And Christ is, of course, the Son of God. We see a foretaste, as St. Jerome told us, of the kingdom of God. A foretaste of that next age. But it's a timeless phenomenon, which includes not just all of the Old Testament people, but all of the New Testament people, including ourselves. We said if you take away the frame from the icon, and there's no border on the icon, we're actually all up on that mountain. We're all witnessing the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We're all partakers of that heavenly kingdom. Father Daniel emailed me. He emailed me soon after that. He said, what a glorious feast it was. And I agree. He said it was a great sermon. Of course, I agree. Thank you. But he said there was one problem with it. He couldn't find himself in the icon. He said he couldn't see himself amongst the community of those who are saved. And I remember responding to Father Daniel. I said, well, Father Daniel, that humility is the greatest assurance that you are in that icon. That you are represented. And of course, it's that humility that Christ shines forth with on that mountain. That is really the great glory of God, his humility. His life is his death. And in Christ, we see all of this virtue shining forth upon us. And we receive that light within us. We become children of that light. Father Daniel, you showed yourself as an example of that humility on that day and every day. And all of us are called to receive that same grace, and to be transformed and transfigured by it. We bless on Transfiguration Day those grapes. And in that prayer for the blessing of grapes, we spoke about transformation, that those grapes would become wine, and that wine would be used for the great mystery of Holy Communion, become the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The grape illustrates for us that transformation to which we're called. And of course, we see this in the lives of the saints, that transformation. I want to share with you a little bit about one of the saints in a moment, the saint that we celebrate today. But first I want to ask, does anyone know that our church has a wine cellar here? Anyone even know that we had a wine cellar? Well, we do. The church has a wine cellar, and there are many bottles. Many bottles, so many bottles you can't even count them. And they're filled with a wine that is so exquisite in its taste that it's like nothing else on earth. And of course, what am I talking about? But the collection of the lives of the saints. The Lord says that he has a new wine to give to us. Like that water he changed into wine in Cana of Galilee. He has this new wine to give us, but it has to be put into new bottles. And the saints are the people who became new in Christ. They received this new wine. They received this holy blood of Christ within them. And they became living bottles of wine. And the church has this great collection of saints, this great wine cellar full of these bottles of people who tasted eternal life. And every day we can drink from them. We can go to that wine cellar of the church and pop open the bottle for the day and drink. And you could drink many bottles and you'll never become drunk. In fact, the more we drink the blood of Christ, the more we drink from the lives of the saints, the more we become sober. Actually does the inverse of what earthly wine does. Heavenly wine makes us sober. Instead of dulling down the intelligence, it sharpens the intelligence. That's what happened on Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit came down, and they spoke in other tongues, other languages, and people said, oh, they're drunk. They were drunk with the sober intoxication of the Holy Spirit. And their minds and their hearts were opened. Their lives were transfigured. They were transformed. They had become living bottles of the blood of Christ and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm going to repeat one of the lives that I shared with you 3 years ago. And like a good bottle of wine, you can never go back to it too many times. Today, on August 12th, we celebrate the life of St. Alexander the Coal Burner. Who's heard his life? Who was here 3 years ago? Some of you, not too many. Good. This was from the 3rd century, this story of St. Alexander the Coal Burner. And there was this town, Comana, in what's now present-day Turkey. And they were in need of a bishop. So they asked for Bishop Gregory, who was called the Wonder Worker, from Neo-Caesarea, one of the neighboring places, to come to their town, to Comana, and to have a great council. And everyone gathered there in the church. And the purpose was to find a suitable candidate to be elevated to the episcopacy to serve as the ruling hierarch there. And people were grouped in different factions, not unusual, right? And they all had their own candidates that they wanted to put forward. And some were of noble birth, some were great politicians or businessmen, or people who had worldly prominence. And they were in their divided camps. And St. Gregory said to the people, you're going about it all wrong. These might be fine people, but for the office of bishop, for an overseer in the church, there is one single characteristic that they need to have. And that's virtue. You should be looking for the person with the greatest virtue. And sometimes he said, they have nothing great about them in outward appearance. They don't have position and prominence and status, wealth and all of these. They don't have that. And one person, as a joke, said, well, if that's the case, why don't we just elect Alexander the Coal Burner, and he'll be our new bishop? And everybody laughed. And St. Gregory, knowing how God works in mysterious ways, he said, okay, stop for just a moment. Who's this Alexander the Coal Burner? Knowing that his name would not have come forward in this assembly in such a manner were it not by God's providence. And they said, well, he's just this dirty man who, you know, handles the coal burning for the town. He's a nobody. He's a loser. He says, bring him here. So they bring him to the church. He comes in, and everyone laughs again. But Alexander is not at all dismayed by that. In fact, it's almost like he rejoices in the fact that they're laughing at him. And St. Gregory is starting to see something about him already. He says, Alexander, come here. And he goes into a side room and he starts a conversation with him. He says, who are you? I'm just a humble coal burner. That's my job. By the way, they were people who would harvest wood, they would put it in the fire, and then pull it out once it became charred, and then they would use that as charcoal. And they would sell that in the marketplace. It was a very humble job, a dirty job. And he said, this is what I do. And St. Gregory said, I charge you by God himself. Tell me who you are. Tell me your story and don't hold anything back. And he says, well, I'm ashamed to say this, but I was a philosopher. And I was an eminent philosopher. I traveled. I spoke to large groups. Everybody hung on my every word. But then I was given one day the Holy Gospels, and I read them. And I realized that everything I thought was wisdom was actually foolishness. And everything I thought was foolishness is actually wisdom. And I said, I've got to change my life. If I'm going to receive this grace, I have to be made new. I have to become an appropriate vessel. So he took off his philosopher robes. He left his position. He found some small, rinky-dink town named Kumana, and he became a charcoal burner there. St. Gregory said, go with these attendants here, wash yourself, put on these clothes, and come back here. He did that. St. Gregory brought him forward to the assembly and said, who's this guy? This is Alexander the charcoal burner, the one you laughed at. Ask him some questions about the faith. And they started to ask questions. But they were simple questions because the people were simple people. And Alexander answered them all with eloquence. Then St. Gregory started to question him with questions that would come from a theologian. And people saw this Alexander shine. He shone with the wisdom of God. And they realized, the people, that Alexander was to be their bishop. He was to be their leader. He was to be their guide. And they realized that in him was embodied what is meant to be in every Christian. That wisdom of God, the humility of God, the glory of God, that can sometimes not be seen with earthly eyes. That isn't always so visible and so apparent. And that's what we remember today as we celebrate the Transfiguration. Christ was shining with glory at all times. There is not one moment in his life that he didn't shine with uncreated light. The Transfiguration was about the apostles having their eyes open to see it. Alexander could have been leading that small town, Kumana, in virtue, but people couldn't see it. Their eyes needed to be opened. What does this mean for us, brothers and sisters? Are we all called to be coal burners? Is Berlin going to be the capital of coal burning in the world? I hope not. But I hope that all of us will see that there are more important things in life, more things to aspire to beyond that which is of the earth. A virtue that Christ has for us, that he wants to shine upon us so that we can shine upon others. That virtue, in the case of Alexander, was wisdom. He was granted wisdom. Father Daniel, you've received many virtues. You exemplified humility this week. In the gospel, we heard about the man who was forgiven. Right? God shone his light of forgiveness upon him, and he wouldn't shine it on his neighbor. He was supposed to do that. The Lord God is shining so much upon us. He's given us so many gifts, so many blessings. We have to receive them with thanksgiving and gratitude and offer them to others. But when we do that, when we offer them to others, we have to understand that that very act of giving to others, those great blessings, goes against everything of this age. This age tells us to keep all of our blessings, to keep all of the great things God has given to us for ourselves. The glory is actually in the giving. Not in the receiving. It's in the giving. And that's what we see in Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this Transfiguration, as we see the beauty of Christ, as we become participants in this glory, let us be people who share it with the world. Share it in humility, in self-sacrifice, in love for others. And by doing that, we'll draw others up that mountain to that same Savior. That Moses, Elias, the apostles, all the saints in the Old and New Testament saw, so that they could likewise partake of that life and be transformed and transfigured. And maybe someday some of us, some of you, will be a bottle on the shelf in the great wine cellar of the church. Aspire to it, brothers and sisters. Aspire to that life. Become new in Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.